Hi there, this is Sage Faulkner, and this is the Chamapeake Land Alliance Farm and Ranch Podcast. These are previously aired live recordings from the Farm and Ranch radio show on 96.1 FM, KXJR. We appreciate the opportunity to share these recordings with you, and if you have questions, you can always reach me, sage@chamapeake.org. There may be old or outdated announcements throughout the show. Please disregard. Thank you again for making time to listen. Our website is www.chamapeake.org. Thanks to CPLA, KXJR, and the many members and guests who have contributed to this podcast. Thank you so much and have a beautiful day. Farm and Ranch Show is sponsored by both Chamapeake Land Alliance and T.A. Lobo's Fuel, Feed, and Storage. So thank you to both for sponsoring the show. And as always, we kind of try and talk about all kinds of ag things here, the special concerns and issues of this area. And today I'm excited. I've got guests in the studio with me, and they really have some programs that are at the heart of some tremendous conservation opportunities, ag opportunities. And so we're going to visit today. I want to welcome to the show J.J. Dabbs and Johnny Ulibarri from NRCS. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Good morning,
well, why don't we start with kind of an introduction? You guys can take turns and just tell our listeners who you are, what you do, and a few things, and we'll just bounce back and forth from there.
Okay. My name is J.J. Dabbs, and first off, thank you for inviting us today, Sage. Really appreciate it. And first thing I wanted to mention, that first thing every morning when Johnny walks in the office, he turns on the radio, and KXJR is on. So, and I've always been a supporter of community radio, so it's really great to be here. My name is JJ Dabbs. I've lived here in New Mexico for the past 17 years, and before that I was in Colorado. I grew up in Pennsylvania. I have a degree in agronomy and environmental science, and I graduated, I think it was 1996, and since then I've been, working in natural systems, working with the land and the environment, working on farm ranches, or small farms and ranches, and environmental restoration. So happy to be here today as representing the Natural Resource Conservation Service.
Awesome. Johnny.
Thank you, Sage. I was born and raised here in Chama and currently work with NRCS. I started as a Farm Bill Specialist back in 2013, where I was working with New Mexico Association of Conservation Districts and also the Upper Chama Soil and Water Conservation District. While I was employed there, I was learning all the skills needed for the NRCS technician position. So I started with the agency, with NRCS agency in 2019, and still there.
And you're here. Well, what a wealth of knowledge to some really incredible experiences that you guys have both had, but also to the programs that are available to folks right here. And myself included, I regularly run into folks that maybe just don't know some of the things that you guys offer. And it's a challenging place to be a landowner. We've got a lot of things going on, and I think you guys are an incredible resource. So let's visit about some of those things that you guys do and try and let our listeners know that they've got a resource in you guys. What programs do you want to start with?
Well, I guess, first off, we're with the Natural Resource Conservation Service, part of the USDA. So we work with farmers and ranchers to help implement conservation practices on their land. We have various programs, and a couple of the common ones that we work with, probably 95% of our work out of our office in Chama, is the EQIP program, which is the Environmental Quality Incentives Program, as well as a CSP, the Conservation Stewardship Program. And we can talk a little bit about those today. Johnny?
Our EQIP program is, like JJ said, where most of our work comes from. That's where a big pot of money is always for that program. What our local farmers and ranchers don't know is the in and outs of this program and how it works. So that's why we're here, is to try to get some outreach out there so people can understand the application process, the ranking process, and how long usually it takes to get all this stuff done. There's a bunch of hoops that you got to jump through, of course, because it's federal funding. But as soon as you get all that paperwork done and all that, then that's where the really cost share and help comes from us.
That's wonderful. And like you guys have mentioned, there's conservation is the backbone of this program, right? So, and one of the things that I think is so important as a when I'm on our land and I'm looking, there's connectivity across my neighbor and across the whole area, the watershed, and certainly all of it. So if all of us are doing things to elevate the health of our land, there's a community benefit. And that's really kind of why there's some federal dollars that come down to these kind of programs. But there's some work that you have to do, the paperwork, and it's you guys actually, I'm going to use myself as an example. I've had my hand held through the process, and you guys are really good at trying to bring in the perspective of the needs of that individual landowner, but also the overall health of our community in this area. And I think that's such a neat role that you guys play. And I'm surprised a lot of times when there's folks that just aren't aware of the things that you guys do. So let's pick EQIP. How long has EQIP been around, give or take?
Oh, I think EQIP has been around, I'm not even sure of the full history.
It's right.
Been, there's been a form, you know, that I think there's been other programs that the EQIP program has replaced that has been in the past. So, Johnny, how old do you think the oldest EQIP program that you could think of in our office?
EQIP, what I've seen on old folders, has gone back all the way to early 90s.
Yeah.
So Lord knows what it was before that. It could have been a different program, just name
right.
changed.
And you're absolutely right. Good old government likes to sometimes change names and use acronyms. But so more than anything, I just wanted to get the idea across that this isn't something brand new. It's something you guys are experienced in. The process is fairly well set. And we're seeing a big influx in federal dollars coming into these programs right now.
Oh, yeah.
Am I right? So now is a great time to leap. Let's talk about a few of the things that a landowner can do under EQIP. Give me some ideas.
We help out with irrigation practices. Say you have a flood irrigation system right now and you can transition it to sprinkler. We help out with gated pipe, water control structures. That's just for irrigation practices. We also help out with range practices, brush management, soil erosion control, livestock watering systems, forest land. We could do forest thinning, things of that nature. So it's a broad area.
So, yeah, really broad, right?
Right. In addition to that, you know, prescribed grazing is a practice that we're really promoting now, and we can help with internal fencing, some structural practices on your farm or ranch. Johnny mentioned erosion control, grade stabilization structures, pasture and hay planting, improving soil quality, and just building resiliency on your farm and ranch.
So in a nutshell, absolutely perfect opportunities for all of us. And so I'm going to jump into some of the background on, irregardless of what your position is on climate change, we're seeing some weather patterns that are changing. We're certainly seeing, you know, this kind of long-term drought that we seem to be in. Water-wise, there's more and more straws going into basically a smaller and smaller pool. So those places where we can be more efficient, where we can improve soils and thus increase the holding capacity of our land for water, there's some really key things that we can all do to make these lands more resilient. And you guys open the gate, like you're the one saying, hey, come here and you have incredible resources. So say I'm a listener and I'm just listening in and I'm thinking, well, soil health, what can I do? You guys have great resources on soil health, on efficiency, on water stuff, on thinning. And so not only do you provide an educational component and those resources, but then you can put that plan into action. So let's kind of walk through that process. Say I walk in the door and I sit down, Johnny and JJ, I'm curious. I want to do something to improve the soil health on the farm that we're at, on what can we do? What do we do in that process? What are you going to tell me?
Well, first of all, just to address any type of soil or anything like that, we do have certified technical assistance, so you don't have to be part of the program. You don't have to go through application process or anything like that. We could go out and do soil samples for you. We don't recommend anywhere to send them specifically, but you could do your research, see where you want to send them off, and they'll give you what your low end and high end and what your goal yield is for that piece
right,
of property.
So. Right. So again, more resources that even I wasn't entirely sure of. So what else can we do for folks?
So in addition to technical assistance, we can also help funding these projects. And in order to do that, you have to apply to the Farm Service Agency and get a farm and track record for your farm. So it's basically the USDA's eligibility requirement to participate in these USDA programs, and there are some requirements. Not everybody would be available or able to participate in programs, depending on whether you're not you have control of the land, and or you know what you know. There's different situations if you own the land or you lease the land. In order to work with irrigation practices, for us to help with the irrigation practices, at least for the improvement of them, you have to have at least a 2-year record history of irrigation the last 5 years. So there are some requirements that you need to meet in order to be eligible for our program. So we'll help you through that process to make sure that you are eligible in order to participate in the programs.
Awesome. So again, you guys are just an incredible resource for folks in this area. What are some other things that you want listeners to hear about today?
Well, I think that we haven't talked about the CSP program
right.
yet, and I think that would be a good program. There's people that have been participating in the EQIP program and have really have a good foundation with some of the some of the processes on their farm or ranch, and also their infrastructure is well established. They've got good fencing, and they have good watering systems, good irrigation systems. The CSP program can help build on these conservation efforts while at the same time strengthening your operation. So to apply for the conservation stewardship program, it'll help you attain higher stewardship levels. It's a benefit to your farm and ranch, and it's a cost-effective way of improving your natural resources on your farm. CSP contracts are available every 5 years for renewal.
Okay. And so you can set some goals with your CSP contract, and we'll just work as a landowner. I would work with you guys and move forward on that. Let's get into the meat of it a little bit more.
Sure. We could help by improving forage productivity on rangeland through brush management, for example. So there, you may have a long-term plan over the next 5 years, land that you want to maximize the productivity of forage for your livestock. So it can't all be done in 1 year. It's a
right.
lot of work. So we help facilitate a plan that over a period of time, a schedule, and you make reports, and we help you, with any questioning, any questions that you have, seed mix designs, and then basically once you satisfy the practices that you were awarded in your contract, then you're eligible for payment towards reimbursement for implementing these practices on your farm. So brush management would be one, but that may be followed by range planting,
right.
to improve
right.
the quantity of forage.
Very, very cool, and some great opportunities to increase biodiversity and on those range planting opportunities. And some of those seeds are really expensive. So I know when I sit down and look at, maybe an area, and I've done some things like I've gone in and I've planted mixes to try and do soil health improvements and cover cropping and some of those kind of things. And sometimes those things can get really expensive, but working and partnering with you guys, you can lower and cost share on that, so you can really focus on the benefits and not just the cost part of it, right?
Yeah. Well, we try to actually let the producers know and all that stuff. It's like our EQIP program is more for structural practices.
Okay.
So once you get all that established and address all your research concerns, then we recommend the CSP to come in, which is more of a maintenance and just like kind of riding off in the sunset type scenario, you know what I mean? Where
right.
All your structural practices are done, research concerns are addressed. Now it's just maintaining those practices.
Awesome.
From the EQIP.
So really cool visualization of the programs for me. I want to jump back, and I may be wrong, so I'm going to let you guys correct me on this. But if I, as a producer, if I'm involved with maybe Farm Service Agency, does that mean I've already started the process of being in the pipeline with NRCS since they're both USDA programs?
Yes. Well, once you have established and updated farm records with the Farm Service Agency, you're eligible to participate in the EQIP program or the Conservation Stewardship Program. It's simply a matter of coming to our office or going online and finding the application.
Awesome. I just wanted to touch bases on that because I know a lot of folks that maybe are involved on FSA side but aren't aware that they've already kind of started the process with you guys. And so anything we can do to help producers and make their awareness higher of your programs, I think ultimately goes back to that bigger picture of landscape health in this area, and it's really important. So we're kind of winding down. We've got 3 or 4 more minutes we can visit here. What final closing stuff do you guys want to make sure our listeners get out of this conversation?
Well, one thing we haven't really addressed yet is we could also help with wildlife improvements on your farm. So addressing habitat improvement ideas. So we have practices that would help that as well. And that works well with both ranching and farming. If you're attracting wildlife, you have generally a healthier land base, and you know that could tell a story. So yeah, including the wildlife in part of this is important.
Awesome, and I appreciate you reminding me of that, because you're absolutely right. And again, that overall health, the more species we see, with whether it's wildlife, plant species, our pollinators, all those kind of things, the bird population, that those are all a picture of health, right? So I love that you reminded me about that and pulled us back around to that. Johnny, what thoughts do you have that we want to make sure folks hear?
Right now, application deadlines for these programs for this fiscal year is going to be November 3rd. That's when we cut off the date for the applications for this year's funding, or
okay,
this fiscal year's funding. We could accept applications at any time, but it will be for the following years. Also, just trying to reach out to the local youth, seniors, all of them going to college, try to get a degree in ag, anything soils, anything like that. There'll be a job guaranteed for you.
Absolutely.
When you get out.
That's great. So have you guys gone in and talked to some of our counselors and reminded them of this great
opportunity? Not yet, but it's on the table.
Well, I'm really glad you're doing that. And I apologize, that microphone's giving us a little feedback. It's not anything you're doing. So that kind of winds us down. Most importantly, probably, is how do folks contact you guys? What's the easiest way? What works for you guys? How do we funnel folks to you?
Right now, either go like to the office, call us at 575-756-2581. That's to our office. We're the building north of the new Village Hall.
Perfect. And it's got a great sign out there. It's easy to see, and we can just come by and come in and visit with you guys and learn more about these great opportunities.
Exactly.
Yes, you're welcome to come by the office. You could always go online as well and find a lot of this information either before or after you speak to us at the office. But we do like to meet the people in person, and we're looking forward to making site visits with all these new potential producers that we'll be working with.
Well, I can't tell you guys how much I appreciate having you come in, because I think you offer some incredible resources to folks in this area. You know, whatever their priorities are, whether it's soil health or wildlife or water, that you guys just do a lot of things, and you're such a great starting point, as well as, you know, coming back together with folks once they get through Equip Site and get some structure stuff done. And I can tell you, we've been here a little over 20 years now, and I'm still not a great flood irrigator, so I may need to come in and visit with you guys about, because I try to push water uphill all the time. It's just, it's my nature, I guess. So again, I've been visiting with JJ Dabbs and Johnny Ulivari from the Chama NRCS office. You guys are a great resource for listeners, and if we get one thing out on this show, that's the thing I want folks to really hear, is we've got some incredible resources right here. Johnny's born and raised here. You've been in New Mexico, JJ, and you guys have been on the ground here. And so for all of us, there's an opportunity to make some improvements. So thank you guys for coming by.
Thank you, CJ. And if you need us back to answer more questions or get more information, let us know, and we'll
let's plan on doing that.
Yeah, thank you for inviting us.
Absolutely. And again, you guys, for the listeners, you can reach out. Just look up NRCS. They've got a great website. That's a good starting point. And thank you.